Welcome to the Communication and Relationship Summit, brought today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you the amazing Ms. Barbara Ingracia. Barbara, why don't you take it from here?
All right. Well, thanks so much, Tanya. I'm Barbara Ingracia of ManageCopyright.com. You know, the C in a circle copyright law thing. Well, in this summit series, we're exploring communication and relationships. And you may have noticed this rather strange title to my presentation, Social Media Plus You Plus Copyright Equals Question Mark. So I'm going to explore this in a little different way. I'm going to share some thoughts with you about the huge effect the internet, specifically social media, has had on relationships and communication. And there's some legalities you'll want to take into consideration when you're using social media to build relationships. So first, let's review what a relationship is and how it develops. According to Merriam-Webster and dictionary.com, a relationship is a connection between persons by blood or marriage. A relationship is an emotional or other connection between people. A relationship is a tie, link, liaison, involvement, friendship, community, association. Those are all synonyms. So how do relationships develop? Traditionally, our first relationship at birth is with our mother and soon after father. And in a matter of hours or days, that may expand to our siblings, to grandparents, relationships and connections based on blood and marriage. And then subsequent siblings may come along as well. The world of our relationships begins to expand to neighbors, to people we know from church and school, classmates, sports teams, and hobbies, the various things we're involved with, and the friends of those people that we meet along the way. So it's an ever-widening circle of relationships, several circles, based not on blood, but geography, daily circumstances, and interests, etc. So in our center circle, our closest, most trusted people in our lives, and that probably starts with family. Going out a little wider, we have peers, then wider friends, then acquaintances, and then the wide world of strangers. And these relationships, these spots on the circles, certainly can flux, can change. Maybe we move geographically away from these people. There's a disagreement among us. Our interests change. So for each type of relationship based on these connections, we develop basic ground rules. It may be unconscious to us, but what we expect from these people at these various levels of closeness, what we'll tolerate, what we will do, what we won't do, all of those things. So a know, like, and trust develops, and we talk about that a lot in business. So what would we do for people in that innermost circle of closest trusted people? Well, we'd do anything for them, and they would do anything for us, basically try to move heaven and earth. So the know, like, and trust is extremely strong. As you move out from that center, our interactions and expectations change. With peers, there's mutual love and respect and honesty and empathy. Moving out again is friends. Now, friends we think of as being inner circle people, and they could become that, but as I said, people can move back and forth on the circle. Friends are people we hang out with, and maybe we've had them for friends forever. You know, I've had a friend, best friend since second grade, I think, or maybe they're more recent friends that have developed. Acquaintances, we meet through work and networking, sporting and social networks. Maybe the things, the people, the parents of the kids that our children are involved in sports with, we see them occasionally, and we have basically polite conversation. And then outside of those personal circles is the world of strangers. We interact differently with each ring of the circle. So we have the center of the circle, our most trusted people in our lives, and they may or may not be family. Moving out to peers, to friends, to acquaintances, to strangers. And I, as I said, people can come and go on those various rings of the circle. The depth of the know, like, and trust, our expectations for mutual honesty and confidentiality, what we would share of our personal property, our money, our opinions, as you can see, would differ depending on how well we know someone, what the level of know, like, and trust is. These have traditionally developed through verbal and nonverbal communication, you know, face-to-face, meeting people, sharing ideas and opinions, but also facial expression, the posture, the tone of voice, in addition to the actual words. So how well do we know them, and how deep is that relationship? Of course, traditionally, we relied on the telephone, letters, to further develop those relationships. And some may move closer to the center or away from the center over time. Folks we're very close to, we may not be close to any longer. They may not be strangers, but they have moved away from the center. Then enter the internet, and the whole concept of relationship and communication changes. Turned on its ear, so to speak. It's a new environment. So now it's likes and friends and followers, texts and tweets. We may reconnect with people from our past and pick right up from where we left off as if we hadn't been apart at all. It's really neat when that happens. But many of our connections and relationships in the internet age are new. They're with people from around the world, anywhere around the world, different cultures. They're based only on what is shared electronically. And we're without the benefit of those face-to-face meetings, the tone of voice, the facial expression, the posture. We don't have that nonverbal communication. Emojis really don't quite cut it. But these may evolve to face-to-face, into face-to-face meetings and relationships. And we know that from dating, from online dating all the way to marriages. So the relationship initially is based solely on what the others decide to share, who they decide to be. And as we know, unfortunately, people can pretend to be someone they are not. But there is another player in this relationship on the internet, in the digital age. And here is where I'm going to make the connection with copyright law entering our equation. These internet sites, these social media sites especially, and they're evolving new ones every day, they make these connections, these relationships possible. And they set the rules. So it may be tougher for us to apply our personal rules of relationships and know, like, and trust. For years, we've been asked to agree to the terms and conditions of a site before using it, or it's assumed that we are agreeing because we are using it. Now, we're seeing more instances in which we must indicate that we have read and agree to and understand the terms and conditions. And frankly, you know, we're all human. In our fast-paced, let's get on with it world, we click yes and proceed to access the site. Those terms and conditions, you know, known as the fine print, you know, no one can wade through all that legalese and understand it. You know, it's the Huffington Post, in fact, has said that it would take 76 work days for us to read all the privacy and terms and conditions policies of the sites we relate to. But these terms and conditions, the fine print, does act as a contract, and in the case of copyright, supersedes the general U.S. copyright law because we've agreed to a contract. So I want to draw your attention to a couple of fairly consistent clauses in those. Now, we wouldn't sign a contract for a job or a house or other major purchase without reading the contract, right? Well, those establish a relationship, a binding relationship. And the terms and conditions for social media, and frankly, all the sites that we use, are considered a binding relationship. A relationship based on contract law. And that's very different from the way most of our relationships have developed in the past. The know, like, and trust development just hasn't been allowed to develop and evolve over time. Again, applying our circles of rules of what we expect what of others at the various rings of relationship are a little harder to apply. So in those terms and conditions, those contracts, the social media site sets the rules for the relationship. It's their way or don't play. And they can change those rules without notifying us specifically. And they tell us that in the terms and conditions, that they can change them at any time. And our continued use of the site means that we're agreeing with those changes. So in this new world out there, it's no longer a relationship between just two people or a few people. It's going beyond what we have expected. Every site includes a section to this effect, and I want to read a piece from the Facebook terms and conditions, terms of service. Interestingly, their mission is to give people the power to build community. And we talked about community as a synonym for relationship, to connect us with people and organizations we care about. So another word for relationship. But when we get down to permissions, and those are really the important spot for us, all the other is just sort of a nice introduction. Permission that we give to, in this case, Facebook, but it's true of all the social media sites and many other sites that allow us to submit content. Permission to use content we create and share. We, and I'm now going to say you own the content you create and share on Facebook and the other Facebook products and the other kinds of sites, and nothing in these terms takes away the rights you have to your own content. You are free to share your content with anyone else, wherever you want. To provide our services, though, we need you to give us some legal permissions to use that content. So we are maintaining the copyright to our content. Specifically, when you share, post, or upload content that is covered by intellectual property rights, like photos or videos, on or in connection with our products, you grant us a non-exclusive, transferable, sub-licensable, royalty-free, and worldwide license to host, use, distribute, modify, run, copy, publicly perform or display, translate, and create derivative works of your content, consistent with your privacy and application settings, of course. This means, for example, that if you share a photo on Facebook, you give us permission to store, copy, and share it with others, such as service providers that support our service or other Facebook products you use. So you can end this license by deleting your content or account. But of course, we know that once something is out there, it's out there. We also give Facebook and the others permission to use our name, profile picture, and information about our actions with ads and sponsored content. And we know all too well that that is true. And we know of recent problems in that regard of and the pushback that we have made. But this clause about the permission that we give them over the content that we post is pretty standard and isn't likely to be going away anywhere. So when we say we're granting to the sites a non-exclusive license, that means we can license to someone else as well. But how likely are we to do that? Royalty-free, meaning they aren't going to pay us. And a worldwide license, you know, that's pretty far out there, to distribute, modify, copy, perform, or display, translate, create derivative works of your content. All of those are exclusive rights of a copyright holder, which we are when we post. We are the exclusive holder of those rights. But we can license them away, transfer them, give them away. And so we have given a non-exclusive license to this site. Well, so you might be saying, that's not very fair. And it seems like a rather unbalanced relationship based on what we had talked about is important in a relationship. Well, it says it right there in the agreement, and you agreed to the contract. So, welcome to the digital age. So, our content can be shared and reshared on that platform and others. And again, we can license it with a non-exclusive license to someone else and exercise our copyrights, but we actually do that, and will anyone want to have a non-exclusive license to stuff that's on a social media site that's going everywhere and viral? So we have original content, creative content that we create, and that's our gold mine, especially when we're in business or if we're writing or whatever. Our original content is our gold mine, and we want to protect that. We want to guard our gold mine. So let's review just a minute. Relationships in the internet age, the digital age, are very different from those that have developed and existed for decades and centuries. This is true of most sites that we are relinquishing some rights. We're licensing some rights. And so social media relationships are based on contract law. Almost the opposite from the past, where we went from face to face and family, and then, you know, went on to the telephone or letters or whatever. No, we're not going to abandon social media, and I'm not suggesting that we do, and it would frankly be impossible. But my point is that you think about your relationships in the digital age. Be aware of the rights you are granting, relinquishing. So you think about long term, be careful what you share. We were told not to share anything that we wouldn't want our grandmother or now our boss or our future boss to see. But there is content that is our gold mine that can be valuable that we want to protect. Times have changed. Technology allows us to do many things. But we need new skills, new thought processes about relationships and communication in order to use that technology safely and legally and to our benefit. We don't want to let our content, our gold mine, slip from our grasp. And there are ways to guard your gold mine of original content. It's an age of contracts and agreements. And those impact us daily. We don't think about contracts except in those major life decisions. And you may conclude that copyright law in the digital age is complicated and mind-boggling. And you would be right. The best answer to the easiest answer to a copyright question, is it okay for me to use this image from the internet? Is it okay for me to use this content from somebody else's blog? The easy answer is it depends. It's also situation specific. An awareness of the basics of terms and conditions and privacy policies and copyright law can help us build safer relationships in the digital age. And so I invite you to connect with me at managecopyright.com to explore how to guard your gold mine in the digital age and how to participate in the digital age safely and legally. You don't want surprises. You don't want letters from attorneys who aren't your attorney, and you don't want to have to send letters to protect your content. It's so easy for it to be taken on the internet. So that's managecopyright.com, managecopyright.com, managecopyright.com. And I welcome the opportunity to explore with you how we could guard your gold mine with some easy steps. So, thanks so much for hanging in through this complicated, mind-boggling, gray, murky ooze, and coming on a hot, hot August day. And let me turn this back over to Tanya. Thanks so much, Tanya,